Well, good morning, everybody. My voice is shot. So I was supposed to do a few more things this morning, but I don't have the voice for it yet. So I'm going to believe it's going to get stronger as we go along. Amen? Just want to tell you a couple things before we jump in this morning. 1 week ago today, it's actually 9 hours ahead, but 1 week ago, I was in the city of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. And I was speaking for a church called Grace Ministries, Ministry International. And I won't tell you the connection, but wonderful congregation, about 300 or 400 people, and a building that they're preparing to seat 6,000 people. Great the faith, right? 6,000 people, and they're running 400 people. That's great faith. But just the most beautiful people, the people of Zambia, I found to be so gracious and kind and just beautiful in every way, inside and outside. Their facial features are just so precious and so beautiful. They're just, but they don't have much, right? And so we've tried at Cross Point to learn to be a culture of giving, of generosity. We love to give. We love to bless. We love to release. And so I went and spoke a similar message to what I'm going to share with you this morning. And it was just a good time. And kind of a fun thing, a little footnote. Once a month they do communion. Their communion lasts 45 minutes. Much different than ours. And it's a little bit more what I grew up in. It's a little bit more proper, if you will. We love to celebrate communion in the context of worship. And we let you kind of come and take communion. They're very, very proper. And it took 45 minutes. And it wasn't like I went, come on, get over the communion. It was just wonderful to celebrate that with them, right? And then they do a once-a-month birthday bash for all the birthday people. Well, the pastor's wife that was in charge that Sunday, it wasn't the bishop that's over everything. It was the pastor that was in charge that day. His wife's birthday was that day, a week ago. And of course, mine was just a week or two prior to that. So they do it right, man. And everybody that came up, May birthdays all up at the front. There must have been 20 people there. Then they brought me up, and then they wheeled out this cake table, like literally a table, three big, huge cakes with little chocolate goodies on the table. I'm like, this is my kind of church. Chocolate and cake on a Sunday morning? I almost spoke in tongues right there, bro. It's like, shabba-dabba-ding-dong. And it was just amazing. And I will confess, though, the cake isn't American kind of confections. It looked really good. And that's all I'll say. It was just a great gesture. Took one bite, and I'm like, what do I do with the rest of this now? Can't put it in my pocket? So I just kind of kept it on my napkin and went into the room afterwards. But it was just so much fun. But the next day, we were in our hotel room getting ready to leave to go to the airport. And I get a phone call from Bishop Stanley, who has a connection with us here in San Diego. And the bishop said, hey, are you guys getting ready to leave? Yes. My associate is going to be pulling up downstairs and has something for you. I said, okay. Well, we're in the midst of a kind of a prayer time and a worship time, just kind of debriefing on the couple of weeks. So I get a knock on the door, and here's they call him the Reverend. I don't remember his last name because it was just their last names are pretty hard to pronounce. Worse than mine, Sappington. It was pretty difficult. And he hands me this big box, and I'm like, I'm overwhelmed, number one. And then secondly, they were all kind of in their mode. So I took them, and we sat down in the lobby. And I opened up the box, and this is what came out of the box. This beautiful clock with the map of Zambia with the, this is a cow that's very, very well known in the country of Zambia with these beautiful African trees. These are fake tusks for you that are concerned. They're not real. There was a moment when we were concerned, like, how are we going to get that through customs? But, and they're really big in the titles there. You know, us in America, we're kind of weird about titles. And so they inscribed this on it, presented to Apostle Barry Sappington for that kind, you know. So from now on, Jim, it said, we would like to thank you for visiting us, God bless you, from Grace Ministries Mission International. And so I want to share that with you this morning. What a kind gesture. I saw, not that we place value on anything, but again, they're not a very wealthy people. I even was instructed that outside the city of Lusaka, which is the capital of Zambia, $200 is a month's wages. $200. I was in the airport leaving, getting ready to go through customs, walked into a little shop, and they had a very small version of this in $200, American dollars, $200. So they somehow spent some money to honor me for my time there. And I just am really humbled by that. So isn't that great? So we're going to share that with Crosspoint. And I welcomed them and greeted them from you. And what a great, great trip. I don't have a lot of time to share this morning. I want to say thank you for every one of you that helped get me to Zambia. Honestly, some of the most amazing weeks I've had in my life. I've been to a few places across the globe, and I got to tell you, there's something special about Africa. I think I was honest enough with you to tell you I never had a heart to go to Africa. And so when the Lord said, go, I'm like, okay, I'll go. And I didn't have expectation. I had anticipation for the presence of God to move, but I didn't have expectation as to what it should look like, so I wouldn't be disappointed necessarily in what I experienced. And what I experienced was way beyond my imagination, way beyond my thoughts or my limited expectations. They were everything that you might think they would be. The colors, the women's dresses were just colorful. I experienced that in India as well. They're just beautiful. The men carry a passion and an authority. There just isn't any false pretense. Now, they may not have some of the luxuries we have, but this right here, everybody has. Even in a place where wages are low, they all had it. And their favorite app on their phones is WhatsApp. Everybody's on WhatsApp, man. They didn't ask you, you know what? They said, what's your phone number? I want to put you on WhatsApp. So I'm getting all these messages now from WhatsApp from people from, you know, Zambia. And I'm like, I better make sure I know who this is, because I get them from Pakistan all the time. I don't know who they are. Beautiful people. Thank you for getting me there. It was my privilege to represent you and Jesus. And there's so many stories to tell, but I think I'll just jump in real quick to the message that I want to share with you. My responsibility in part in being on this team of six was I was carrying the apostolic mantle of the team, which simply meant that I didn't know what that meant. I had no clue. Matter of fact, the first night we had gathered in Lusaka, we were in our hotel room, and we had the team in there, and we were beginning to prepare our hearts for worship and just kind of getting into a groove for the next couple of weeks. And in this country, the rainy season ends in March. It's actually summer that ends in March. It goes like through November through March is summer for them, and it's the rainy season. So they just wrap that up, and here we are in the middle of May, and I look outside, and the clouds begin to roll in. We had seen them actually earlier, but all of a sudden, in our room, we look out the window, and it's just pitch dark, and it begins to rain. And we were told by the bishop that was in charge of the conference that we would speak at the week after, that it never, he said never, emphatically never rains in the month of May. Well, that's one miracle I thought the Lord gave to us, because I love rain, and I love the feel of rain. I love the look of rain, pre, middle, and post rain. And after the conclusion of the rain, we look outside with almost the first note of worship, and we look outside, and a rainbow had formed. Some of you have seen it on Facebook, but a rainbow had formed, and it wasn't just like any rainbow you've seen. It was as clear from the ground all the way up into the sky, arching over and down to the other side, and it was like the colors were so vibrant. I mean, I've seen a lot of rainbows in my day like you, but usually they're a little bit obscure. You can't really define maybe the yellows and the blues and maybe the greens, but purple, I don't see purple usually real clear in a rainbow. I know it's there. We know there's all kinds of colors in a rainbow. But this one was so, we just stopped and we all gawked out the window. Our mouths were open because not only was it one rainbow, a second rainbow appeared. Now, I'm not Mr. Mystical, even though our pursuit of Holy Spirit sometimes can feel a little mystical, because the Father is the author of mysteries. And so there's mystery involved in our journey with Christ. But when I looked out the window, I think we all agreed that there was something supernatural about this moment for this team, because we had traveled from here all the way to Zambia to bring the love of God, to do a conference called Activate Love. And here outside of our window of our hotel room, on the very first time that we had gathered as a team, was not only a rain shower, but this beautiful rainbow had formed outside in front of us. And I believe it was the kiss of the Father. I believe he was saying, my favor is on you. I believe he was saying, my grace is on you. My promises are yes and amen. And what I promised is going to happen. And I can tell you that, again, unbeknownst to me, what it was going to look like to carry the kingdom into this place, we saw signs and wonders. They're hungry. Matter of fact, it made me not sad because I love my country, but it made me a little bit, not anxious even, but excited to come home to ask God to put a new wind in the sail of the Church of America. God's doing some amazing things in America. God is moving mightily in our country. What I saw in the Zambian people from an organization, denomination that is not, maybe historically they have been, but not of recent years, had they been hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. We spoke at a conference the second week to the Northern Wesleyan denomination. I'm not going to tell you what they believe, but I can tell you that they have a pretty good legacy in terms of who they followed. Wesleyans. They were so hungry for the things of God that when signs and wonders showed up, they embraced it wholeheartedly. They didn't push away. They didn't question. The bishop in charge of that denomination, 31 churches in his charge, he said, you do not worry one bit about what people may or may not say. We want everything you've got to carry. We had our flaggers that were there. We had prophetic painters that were there. We're prophesying. We're giving words of knowledge. We're releasing the kingdom on that group. And I can tell you, wonderful things happened in that particular gathering. But part of the message that we carry was that of love, activate love. What I want to share with you this morning for a few minutes is now that I'm back, I've had almost a week to process, I believe it's still a message that needs to be preached, not once in a while, but we need to constantly be reminded that the presence of God doesn't just manifest in your life because you will it. You've got to contend for God's glory. You've got to daily go after God. You've got to weekly go after God. You've got to monthly go after God. It doesn't just happen. You've got to be hungry. You've got to desire the things of the Spirit. This kind of an atmosphere doesn't just happen. You come in with anticipation that God's going to show up. 1 John 3, chapter 1 says something very profound. And I'm going to say it in the NIV, not out of the New King James, because I like the way it says it out of the New International Version. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished on us. This is the message I carried the last few weeks that I want to give to you today, because I'm convinced before we can become the love that God's asking us to become in our city, in our region, in our churches, is that we need to understand why we could become love, why the world will know us by our love. Right now, I'm not sure they know us by our love. They know us by what we don't like. They know us by what we don't believe. But I don't know that they know us by what we love. I don't know, or I should say it differently. I don't know that they know who we are because of how we love one another. We put conditions, I'm getting ahead of myself, we put so many conditions on the love we have one for another. That word lavish means to expend or give in great amounts, or I like this phrase, without limit. Let me read that again to you. How great is the love the Father has given to us without limit. That we should be called the children of God. You we are children of God. I'm reminding you of some things this morning. How amazing is it that we have the love of God the Father that is without limit, and He chooses to call us His sons and His daughters. We're His children. The God of all creation says that about you and I. Another version says it this way. It says, think how much the Father loves us. He loves us so much that He lets us be called His children. It's pretty cool. In Zambia, the message is the same. If I go to India, the message is the same. If I go to China, the message is the same. If I go to the Eastern Bloc of the world, it's the same. I go to Australia, it's the same. I go to the Middle East. We flew into Dubai. Dubai needs Jesus. It's a Muslim community, city. They need Jesus. This message isn't for America, it's for the world. We are truly His sons and daughters without limit. He loves us. John 3:16 says it the best. For God so loved. Come on. Is that just a passage of scripture that we've begun to allow to almost become common to us? Oh yeah, it's a child's verse. Oh, we learned that when we're growing up in church. You know, there's people in America that don't know John 3:16. For God, what? That He gave His Son. For God so loved, without limit. I'm getting to a place here where I'm gonna land this plane, because I want you to catch something today about the love of God. Because we will never become love to the world around us unless we understand His love. Never. It's become even more apparent to me even in the last few weeks. Not that I didn't know it going in, but when you're with a people and a culture that is not your culture, you have to adapt to their culture. And I would tell you, not just like just a simple adaption or an adaptation, you've got to radically adapt to their customs and their culture. I'm not bringing Western Christianity to them. I'm bringing Jesus to them. So when we look at this, check this out. He loved us so much. The idea that there is no limit to how much God loves us is hard for us to understand with our particular way of thinking. God did not place any conditions on His loving us. None. Without conditions. When we speak of being activated or moving into becoming love, we have to have an understanding of how much He truly loves you and He loves me. When the word unconditional is used, we typically establish conditions to our love. The Father loves us unconditionally, and we too are supposed to love unconditionally, but the reality is we put conditions on our relationships. I love you when... ! I'll let you into my life when you meet certain conditions or you treat me a certain way. Right. Or let's go the spiritual route for a moment. That's just anybody. How about this one? Let me back up a little bit, because I feel like I missed something. There's so much wrong with that part of our human condition that establishes conditions to the relationships we have. It sets us up for potentially very superficial, at best, relationships. If we're going to do family together, I'm saying this to you very no filter. If we're going to do family together, we better hear the word of the Lord this morning and begin to learn how to become love one to another. Because if the Father loves us without limit, we too must learn to love without limit. Not saying it's easy, but I'm telling you, this is how we become love. When we don't understand our identity, it goes, here's the message. we preached so often around here. If we don't know who we are, if we don't understand our identity, that we belong, Bible said, we're what? Children of God. He lavished love on us without limit. We will never be able to become love to a generation of people. I have a nephew. I won't give you much more information of that. But he was adopted into our family as a baby. Soon after the adoption, my brother and sister-in-law found out they were pregnant. So I believe that if not the majority of my nephew's life, he grew up not feeling as though he was of blood, but was truly, in a sense, an orphan. You know, you can adopt a child into your family, but then never feel like they're truly blood. Just because you adopt doesn't necessarily mean that that equates to sonship. We've watched Kurt and Danny raise a little guy named Ryder. Do you think Ryder has any question in his little mind that he is fully a part of the Womack family? In his little mind, he's blood. And I would say, safe to say, that all of his life growing up, he will always know that he is a part, not just adopted into. He's not an orphan. I share that story with you because a lot of us in this room are like that. We love the presence of Jesus. We love that. We love to worship. We love to encounter the goodness and greatness of God. We love all the stuff. But too often we awaken to what I call the orphan narrative. I saw it in Zambia. I see it here. I struggle with it at times. The orphan narrative goes something like this. If not daily, we often think if we act properly or do the right things, we'll feel more acceptance. I might feel accepted and loved in someone's eyes if I do certain things or act a certain way. We perform for others so that they just maybe will feel valuable and invited into our circle. Or how about the spiritual part? If I fast and pray more, give more of my tithe, give more of my offering, give more of my time, I'll feel valued, accepted, and truly loved. But this narrative can be a false narrative over your life if you don't understand what we started out with. It says that we have been called his children, and he has lavished love on us, limitless love. When we begin to fully comprehend the identity that we have, that there's no conditions that he places on us to be loved, we can truly become love. We can begin to love like he demonstrated for us in the scripture. We're called to be his sons and daughters. Pastor, I know we talk about this so often. You know what? We're going to talk about it until you get it. Yeah. Until we get it. Because I think much of the American church is orphaned. I'll say it again. I think even a lot of the revival church is orphaned. Because we start living for the experience and not the relationship. We start living for the things we think we know, the creative little phrases that we can tweet and put out there. All the while, we're waking up in the morning with an orphan narrative. We're waking up in the morning as though we haven't been adopted into God's family. We're waking up in the morning thinking, okay, what do I got to do to get that person's attention? How do I get more of God in my life? You don't need more of God in your life. I promise you something. He cannot love you any more than he does right now. He died for you. He died for you, Vicky. He died for us. And that alone is limitless love. You don't need to get his attention. You already have it. You don't need to. But you know what we need to do? We probably need to take a step back, do an eval of our life, and ask the question, Father, I love you, you love me. And I don't want there to be any gap between us, but sometimes I feel the closer I get, the more things start coming out of me. And the reason that is because the Lord wants nothing between the two of us, between him and myself. So when we welcome him in, he begins to wrap his arms around you and he begins to accept you like you want to be accepted and feel like you want to feel. And you feel the Father's embrace. As you feel the Father's embrace, you start recognizing there are things that are separating you from the Father and they begin to ooze out of you. We have a choice when those things are made manifest and known. We either acknowledge that it's there and not deny it and lay it at the feet of the Father. A second option is we acknowledge that it's there and then bring somebody into our journey to say, help me with my attitude. Help me with my anger. Help me with the feeling of displacement. Help me that I can become more like the Father as he wraps his arms around me. I want to look like him. I want to become love like him. I want to be who he's called me to be, his son and his daughter. And the closer you get, the more he'll purify you, the more you'll look like him, speak like him, act like him. But as long as you allow distance between the two of you, you will struggle because we are still functioning as orphans and not the sons and daughters he's called us to be. It's not an issue on his end. The issue is on our end. Because he first loved me, this allows us to love him back. See, when we receive this revelation of his love, unconditional, limitless love, we are then freed to love from his love, not working towards or striving to get his attention. He already has that, as I mentioned before. You are the apple of his eye. You are his favorite. You are his favorite. This means his affection and thoughts are for you and only you. I have news for you. I'm his favorite. Sorry to tell you. Now you need to go, I'm his favorite. Come on. I'm his favorite. See, to land this plane this morning, this is the orphan narrative. When we misunderstand the totality of his unconditional love, we think and we act incorrectly. But when we understand that we are already his awesome and loved children, then it corrects stinking thinking. And we release his righteous radicals that love from God. We love from God, not to God. I don't have to pray like, I pray with him in heavenly places. You don't need to pray like this. You need to pray like this. Because you're looking to your Father. You're looking from, and if you pray like this, don't pray like, you know, you've been taught all psalm and sat. You look like this because you're looking from his perspective on the situation that's around you. That's really wisdom. To see things from his perspective and then act on what you see through the eyes of the Father. Matthew 22, and this is where we've been talking about. It's my message. It's Dave Gibbons, what he brought a few weeks ago. It's this thing that God's putting on us as a family. And it's this, Matthew 22. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said this. He said, love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second's like this. Go love your neighbor as yourself. When you recognize the limitless love of God, it's easy to love those that are unlovely. When you understand the amazing love he's given to us, lavished on us, it's easy to love those that no one else loves. See, this is the part of the message that I want to remind us about today. You need to make sure you maintain a vertical relationship with God. It suggests to me that it's passion in my pursuit of loving God with everything that's inside of me, a physical body. Like today, I'm struggling with my throat. I feel fine. But I can still love him with everything I've got, even though my voice is shot. It suggests to me a passionate one, not a wimpy or religious one, but a crazy, on fire, Holy Spirit inspired, vertical relationship. Listen, it's not about title. It's not about, I get over to Zambia, they love title. They're probably not where we are in America. They like to bestow what they believe is honor. I receive that. I have no problem with that. But I can tell you this, a title on a plaque doesn't make me the man of God. What makes me and you and us, men and women, sons and daughters of God, is the intimacy we have with God. Allowing His love to push the stuff out of us that doesn't belong. So that what we can do at the horizontal is we can make a difference by loving the one, by loving the neighbor, by loving the people that God put in your path that you can't stand. Do we really want to see more of the transformation of God in our region? Yes. All of San Diego. Right? Yeah. So, here's what I leave us with today. None of us are perfect in this room. Just want to remind you. Today you might be feeling really good. Tomorrow, you might be, I don't know what, but it might not be very pretty. But that does not negate who you are in Jesus. You're still a son. You're still a daughter. We don't have to have perfect days, but we serve a perfect God. My encouragement to us today as family is ponder the words of 1 John 3. He's lavished us with His love. Limitless love. And when you can really let that sink in and accept that there are no conditions to His love. You really let that soak in. I have a feeling, a sense, that we can begin to walk and live and become the love that God has shared in His word where to be. It's out of your identity. And if you don't like who you are, you struggle with what you see in the mirror, you struggle with being able to love unconditionally, here's my simple thoughts to you. Don't let it hijack your understanding of how much you're loved. Don't let it. Be honest with the Father. Just tell Him. He already knows it. But He's waiting for you to acknowledge that and declare it and say, Father, I really struggle with Your limitless love. Struggle with who I am. And He's not going to freak out. He's going to look at you and go, I know. But I'm everything you need to be what I've called you to be. So stop striving so much. Stop trying to work at it. Stop trying to find people in your life that's going to speak what you think you need to hear. Get around people that will love you for who you are. Get around people that will love you even with the blemishes and with the stuff. Get around people that will build you up and not tear you down. Read material that will feed your soul, not take away from your identity. Honestly, I didn't miss 2 weeks of watching a whole lot of Netflix and TV. I didn't miss it. Maybe there's things prophesying over your life that aren't from God. Maybe culture and media and entertainment's prophesying your identity rather than the Father prophesying and speaking who you are. So stand with me. We're going to leave today. I'm going to pray a prayer of impartation. And as you leave today, we're going to believe as a reminder of who you are, who I am, and all throughout the entire globe. I'm fresh off of, I fell in love with the dirt of Zambia. You know what I mean by that? I just fell in love with their history, who they are, the people. I don't know how you feel about your own country, but you need to fall in love with the dirt of your country. And I don't care what it looks like out there, all the politics aside, forget all that stuff. What the world around us needs is sons and daughters walking out their identity and looking at people in the eye and looking at them with honest, pure hearts, not even having to say anything, just loving people, becoming love because you're loved. Amen? So just as a prophetic act, would you take your hand, place it over your heart? That's kind of where everything is, right? So God, I bless the family of Crosspoint. I thank you for who they are. I thank you that they're hungry. I pray today that you would put wind in their sails, that you would sail them, direct them wherever they're supposed to go and what they're supposed to be. I'm asking you, God, today to heal broken hearts. It's as simple as that, my friends. I'm just asking God to heal your heart of anything that says less than who you are as a son and daughter of God. I come against, in Jesus Christ's name, the lies that are spoken to you, that orphan narrative. I come against it in Jesus Christ's name. And I say, be gone. Leave once and for all. Be gone. Never to come back. And not because we're agreeing for that. Whenever you start thinking wrongly or you start feeling something that's not of the Father, I want you to rebuke the thought and say, in Jesus Christ's name, no, I'm a child. I am lavished on. He loves me unconditionally. And I receive that so you don't open the door ever again. So, Father, I bless and I exhort the family today in the name of Jesus Christ that we would walk in your love and go after the one, our neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen.